Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Hold up your Bible and let's make the devil mad, okay? Say it with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says that I can do. I can have what it says that I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I will not leave the same as I came in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith and my life gets stronger and stronger. One more time, your best Sunday shout. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much. I just want you to know I love you and I thank God for you and I've been praying for you. Is that okay? All right. So let's open our Bible today to Galatians chapter 6. We won't quite begin yet, guys, but let's go there. Galatians chapter 6. I just want to encourage you, if you haven't been with us, to go to our website and you can look at all the sessions this month on how to build or how to create the right groundwork for great relationships. We talked about the difference between a relationship and a friendship. Do y'all remember if you were with me on the very first weekend? We're to have relationship with the world, but friendships in the church. And we told you how to distinguish that. Now the reason I've taught on this is because we need one another, but sometimes we get hurt, and that causes us to mistrust and makes it difficult for us to build new relationships. We've all been hurt. We've all stepped out. We've all opened our heart, been bruised, scarred, or marred, betrayal, distance, you know, dominated, divided. All those things happen to all of us. So what I've been trying to do all month is give you a skill set for better selection of relationships and friendships the whole month. Because I want you to have less hurt, less hang-ups, less conflict in your life. Because conflict in our life with other people, number one, it breaks our fellowship with God. It breaks our fellowship with God. Number two, it hinders our prayers. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, the Bible says there that if we're fussing and fighting and quarreling and there's conflict, our prayers won't be answered. And then number three, conflict that's unresolved, what does it do? It robs us of our happiness. The guys have got it on the screen there for you. It robs us of our happiness. So I want everybody, I want Church on the Rock to be the happiest place in town. Three of you are agreeing with me. Come on now. I mean, this should be the happiest place in town right now. Your church community, your church home. Yeah. And if it's not, you have the wrong perspective of Christianity and God. It should be the happiest place in town. Christians should be the happiest people on the planet. I'm getting a witness on this side of the house, amen, the sanctuary. So we're talking about relationships and friendships. And then I went through and I gave you eight qualities of a real friend. And I showed you how to find a real friend and what to look for in a real friend. I gave you keys that will destroy a marriage and keys that will build a marriage. I gave you keys on parenting and raising your children up in the way they should go. I gave you keys on building relationships. I gave you keys on restoration. We went through all of this whole month. And so I encourage you, if you haven't been with us, check it out. If you don't like today's service, look at last week's or the week before. Go to our website and check it out. But I want to end today talking about restoration in your life and restoration in the lives of others. You see, the devil comes to steal, doesn't he? Kill and destroy, rob from us. The devil doesn't want us to have right relationships in our life because we become like those we are, the law of association, last week. Elijah, Elisha, John Osteen, and me. I gave you the illustrations. Well, today I want to give you a couple illustrations, stories on restoration. And then I want to give you from the Bible seven keys, seven guidelines in helping people get restored. Because not only does God want you and I to have restoration in our life, because see, if I'm unhealthy emotionally, if I'm unhealthy in my mind and my emotions, I'm going to bring that into every relationship that I have. So I want to experience restoration so then I can bring restoration to my brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. Can I have an amen in the house? So let me give you the definition, Old Testament. And if you have a Bible dictionary, you can bear this out. You can check it out to see if I'm on target, on point, or not. But restore in the Old Testament, I looked it up in the Bible dictionary, and it means to repent. Restore in the Old Testament means to repent. So until there's repentance in someone's life, there can't be restoration. Until we take responsibility, God can't come in and restore. As long as I blame somebody else for my misfortune, then God can't help me. As long as I'm blaming God, blaming others, blaming my past, God can't help me. There's no restoration without repentance. That's huge. When I'm counseling people, for 40 years I've been counseling people, I'm looking for repentance. If a couple comes in and they're unteachable and they're stubborn and they're selfish, I can't help them. I can't help restore their marriage until they're both willing to repent. Okay, I'm coming over here on this side. You know what I'm talking about. It's true, right? And so repentance, that's huge. So Old Testament Bible dictionary, restore, it means to repent. And then it means, it was in my Bible dictionary today that Dick Mills gave me years ago. It means to return. So restore means, first of all, you repent, because the Bible actually means repent, means to change your mind and go in a new direction. Is that right? So restore means, you're going to get tested on this, y'all. It means repent, return. It means renew and repair. Boy, isn't that huge? Four words, letter R, Bible dictionary. If I'm lying, I'm frying. It was all right there. And boy, that's a mouthful, isn't it? People want their life repaired, but God can't repair me until I take responsibility and I repent. God can't renew my life. God can't reset my life. God can't repair my life and my relationships with my ex or my friend or my peer or my sibling or my parents or my husband or my wife until I first start with repentance. So in my own life, God's looking for repentance. And then when you and I have the ministry of reconciliation, of restoration, before we can help somebody, we've got to see that they're willing to repent. They're willing to admit. They're willing to take responsibility that there's things in my life I need to change. Boy, that's good preaching, Pastor. Amen. Thank you. You're welcome. Amen. Isn't that good stuff? I mean, not because I'm saying it's the Bible. I'm just giving you the Bible definition of restore. So you tell me four words, Old Testament restore means? Oh my goodness. Now let me give you a Bible story. Many of you that know a little bit about your Bible, in the Old Testament, King David. And y'all remember he went out to battle and he came back to Ziklag, a town called Ziklag. And remember the enemy, which is a type of the devil, came in and stole his wives, his children, stole the families of his soldiers, stole all their silver, all their gold, stole everything while they were out doing battle for the Lord. They come back and everything's been stolen, kind of like the devil today. He wants to steal your relationships, your marriages, your homes, your relationship with your kids and your parents, those God-given divine appointments. The devil wants us to get offended and walk away from what God sent into our life, a relationship, a friendship. So he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So what did David do? What David did for restoration, you and I need to do individually. Because we want restoration in our own life so we're not unhealthy, bringing unhealthy stuff into a relationship and then souring the relationship, right? And then we have a ministry of restoration to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Y'all praying for me, right? Okay, so David, what did he do? Well, he got back there, and first thing, all of his army, it says that they blamed him, and they wanted to stone him. You ever felt lonely? See, they were his friend. They were on his team. They were his army, and now they turned on him, and they blamed him. Now he's all alone. Are you here today feeling all alone? Are you watching online feeling all alone? Those that said they were with you, they're no longer with you, and they're blaming you for their misfortune. Well, that's where David was. So what did David do? He couldn't go to anybody because there wasn't anybody to go to. They all left him. So who did he go to? The Lord. And what did he do? The Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord. There are seasons in your life where it looks like all your friends have left. Well, maybe God's wanting to use that to get us to depend on him instead of other human beings. And so he went to the Lord, and he began to encourage himself in the Lord. Now, watch this. There's no restoration. There's no repair. There's no resetting. There's no renewing until I change the atmosphere of my home, change the atmosphere of my car or truck, change the atmosphere of my life, my private life. There's no restoration. There's no returning. There's no repairing. There's no resetting. New Testament definition of restore is to reset, like a bone, reset. So none of that happens until we change the atmosphere in our house, our bedroom, our kitchen, our bathroom, our car, our truck, our private life. Are you still with me? Because words charge the atmosphere with negative or positive. So he began to encourage himself in the Lord because all of his friends left him. And so he encouraged himself in the Lord. And then you know what happened? God gave him a word. Y'all need a word today? Those of you online need a word today? I'm showing you how to get a word that will bring restoration. So he worshiped the Lord. He encouraged himself. God spoke to him and said, David, pursue, get up. Don't feel sorry for yourself. Don't feel sorry for yourself. Don't blame others. Don't get offended. Don't get mad. Don't hold a grudge. Don't put it all over social media. It's kind of, I don't know where that came from. Y'all been praying for me, I guess. So, and what did he say? He said, you pursue, get aggressive. Take your authority and you pursue the enemy and you will restore. There's the word. You will restore everything the devil stole from you, plus, everybody say plus, the enemy spoil all their stuff. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. So he did, and he did, and he did. Right? He obeyed God. He pursued the enemy. He defeated the enemy. He didn't say, feeling sorry for himself, staying lonely, staying down. He didn't yield to the spirit of depression. He didn't yield to the spirit of bitterness. Boy, I'm saying a whole lot, family. The Holy Spirit is not me. He didn't yield to being offended. He didn't yield to giving up. What did he do? He obeyed God. He went after the enemy. He destroyed the enemy. He recovered everything that the enemy stolen, plus the enemy spoiled. It was better. Wow. How cool is that? So the word in the Old Testament, restore, you tell me again, it means to repent. And then in the New Testament, it actually means to reset, and it means to mend and to make whole. To make whole. God wants you and I to be whole beings. The whole gospel, where I went to college, Southwestern University in Waxahachie, Texas, P.C. Nelson founded it. And the theme, it's an Assemblies of God University. And the theme, the motto was the whole gospel for the whole man. That was the motto of our university, still is to this day. It's where John Hagee went to college. It's where other people went to college that I don't know if you want to know about, praise God. But a lot of famous preachers went there all through the years, but they never changed the motto. The whole gospel for the whole man. And you know what? This gospel, that's the Bible, it can cure the whole man, spirit, soul, and body. It can bring healing and restoration. Amen, church. So it means to reset. So that is so important that we understand that, and that we understand that God wants you and I to have restoration in our own life. Just write this down. I didn't give it to the guys, but it's Isaiah 42 and verse 22. Isaiah 42 and verse 22. And it says there, this is a key now for you and I had restoration in our own life. It says there that all of Israel had been plundered, stolen from the enemy. But then it goes on to say in Isaiah 42, 22, they looked for somebody to say restore. They looked for somebody to say restore, and they couldn't find anybody. So there was no restoration. So what do we learn from that? The principle is this. Every night, before you go night-night, you need to declare restore, restore, restore. Every morning, before you go to Starbucks or McDonald's or Hardee's and get your coffee, before you leave the house, you need to speak to your house, speak to your health, speak to your marriage, speak over your kids, speak over your finances, speak over your mind, speak over your emotions, restore, restore, restore. That's Bible. Isaiah 42, 22, it says, God's people had been stolen from. They looked around for somebody, and it says it three times, to say, restore, restore, restore. Remember, you release your faith with your mouth. Nothing changes till our mouth changes. So a takeaway. So tonight, before you go night-night, what are you going to do? You're going to speak to the mountain, your house, your health, your family, your emotions, your marriage, your kids, your job, next week, relationships, conflict, opposition, persecution. And what are you going to say? Restore, restore, restore. And then tomorrow night, when you go to bed on Monday night, what are you going to do? You're going to say, restore, restore, restore. That's huge, family. So then those are keys for restoration in our own life. And there are many, many, many more. But now that you and I have learned a little bit about restoration, you know, for our own life and some principles, that now we have the ministry of restoration. Did you know that? That we are to minister restoration to other people in the body of Christ. So I want to give you 7 guidelines on how to restore somebody. Now, this is huge. Because we've all been, you know, we're like elevators. Yeah, aren't you glad our elevators are working again? You know, we had the water damage that knocked out the elevators. It cost lots of money to get them running again. And I'm thankful that they're working again. But you're like an elevator. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, an elevator can either bring you up or take you. So as individuals, we are either taking people or we're taking people. Wow. We don't want to take people down. We want to lift people up. The ministry of reconciliation, the ministry of restoration, the building of relationships. We've all reached out to help somebody only to be hurt. We've all spent money and time and effort, and then they turned their back on us, betrayed us, and we thought, wasted time, wasted money. Guess I'll stop doing that. Well, don't stop doing that, because we have the responsibility of the ministry of restoration. But if we'll know who to work on, who to work with, who to walk with, who to reach out to, who to minister to, we'll be more productive, more effective, and change more lives. Are you with me, family? All right. So look at Galatians chapter 6. We're going to read verses 1 through 5. And for sake of time, just one paraphrase, the Living Bible. And in that, we're going to pull 7 guidelines for restoration. Now, remember, when God restores, we're better than we were originally. Because God's a God of better, right? Let me give you another illustration. It's a car illustration. Oh, Pastor, brother. Well, accept me as I am. Pray for me, okay? But, you know, I'm a car guy, motorcycle guy. I got my first car when I was 14, first motorcycle when I was 14. And that's just kind of my hobby, okay? And I use it as tools to witness and reach that tribe, a group of people, all right? So you heard me say, if you were with me a few weeks ago, that a friend of mine and I, we've been restoring a 1970 Chevelle SS 454, cranberry red, convertible, black racing stripes. Okay, the body's original on the outside, inside. It has a racing suspension. It has amazing Boyd Coddington mag wheels. It has a 454 crate motor with aluminum heads, over 500 horsepower. It's bad to the bone. It has a cam that will just light your fire. It's kind of like that, you know? Well, you know what? We've been working on that. It's called restoration for 1 year. 1 year. Every nut, every bolt, every wire, every fuse is brand new. Brand new. All, and this is what's really cool. It's better than it was when it came off the assembly line in 1970. Because when we put it back together, all the nuts and the bolts are rust-free, for example. They won't rust. We powder-coated the frame, so the frame will never rust. This restoration made this 1970 SS 454 cranberry red, black racing stripes, black convertible, red on the inside, bad to the bone cam, over 500 horsepower. It's better than it was when it came out of the factory. Well, that's the way my God is and your God is. If we'll give our life to Him, our marriage to Him, our relationships to Him, our ministry to Him, that He'll make us better than we could ever be on our own. He's the God of restoration. Come on, somebody, give the Lord a praise. All right, so let's look at it. You ready for the word real quick? Okay, Galatians 6, verse 1 through 5 on the overheads. Here we go. Now, let the word speak to you now. This is all about restoration, reconciliation, relationships, who to reach out to so we don't get hurt, waste our time, our money, and our effort, and we're more productive in helping people find freedom. So he says, dear brothers, that would be Christians, if a Christian is overcome by some sin, oh, you mean Christian sin? You who are godly, stone them, put their sin all over social media. Oh, you who are godly, you who are spiritually mature, you who are spiritually self-sustaining, you who are spiritually self-sustaining, you who are spiritually mature, you who really don't need anybody to keep you on top, your relationship with God is enough. Well, that's huge. So you that are godly should gently and humbly help him or her back onto the right path, remembering that the next time it might be one of you who is in the wrong. Next verse. Share each other's troubles. Christians have troubles? Oh. And problems. Christians have problems? Okay. And so obey our Lord's command. Next verse. If anybody thinks they are too great to stoop to this, they are fooling themselves. They are really a nobody. Ooh, wish we had time to run on that rabbit trail and preach, but we don't. Verse 4. Let everybody be sure that they're doing their very best, for then they will have personal satisfaction. We want to do our very best in helping other people get restored. But you can't restore somebody who doesn't want to be restored. They just want your sympathy, your time, and your money. Okay? Let everybody be sure that they're doing their very best, for then they'll have personal satisfaction of work well done, and they won't need to compare themselves with anybody else. Verse 5, each of us must bear some. Christians have faults? I remember I went to Bible college. I thought it was going to be heaven on earth. I ended up in the Great Tribulation. Okay. Each of us must bear some faults and burdens of our own, for none of us are perfect. 7 guidelines in restoring people who want to be restored, so that you have the personal satisfaction. You are giving your best, you're doing your best, and you're picking the right people to mentor, coach, counsel, lead, guide, invest in, and help them get back on track and be in a better place than they were before. Does that make sense, everybody? Okay, and the team's coming out right now, but you really know that doesn't mean anything, right? Okay, praise the Lord. All right. Maude, put your shoes on. Not yet. Don't put your shoes back on. Not yet. Okay, so 7 guidelines. So we need to remember, when we're helping other people, we're building relationships and friendships, we are restored, and we want to help other people in restoration, okay? In conflict. Number one, we need to remind ourselves, we all have faults. We all have faults. Boy, that's huge, isn't it? We all have faults. See, I can't help a couple who won't admit they have faults. I can't help a teenager or a college or career or a millennial or a baby boomer or a generational. I can't help anybody who won't admit, yeah, it could be me part of the problem. I can't help them in restoration. And so I got to wait until they're ready to repent. So number two, in helping other people get back in a better place than they really were before, I do not want to judge. Guys have got it on the screen here. I do not want to judge. The Bible says, how I judge others, I will be judged. So, wow, I want to give other people space. I want to give other people, you know, some time. I want to give some other people some slack, because I want it in my own life. Amen. So we all have faults. Number two, we don't want to judge. Number three, we don't want to take the credit for their recovery. So what do we do? Number four, stay humble. Stay humble. Stay humble. Number five, this was all there in those 5 verses. We want to point them to depend on God and not us. Point them to depend on God and not us. We don't want to raise up people in restoration to depend on the process. We want them to depend on Christ, on God. We don't want them to depend on us. We don't want to just give them fish. We want to show them how to fish. Am I right, church? So number one was what? We all have faults. We don't want to forget that. None of us have arrived. Number two, we do not want to judge, belittle them. Number three, we do not want to take the credit. Number four, we want to stay humble. Number five, we want to point them to depend on God and not us. And number six, we want to help them, give them the tools, give them the skill set on how to build a relationship with God. The tools, the skill set on how to build a relationship with God, so they have a self-sustaining relationship with God if all their friends leave them like they did David. If they'll know what to do when they can't call the prayer line, when you're not in town, when you're unreachable, when you're in the dark, when you turned off your phone. We want them to be able to know what to do when they can't find anybody to help them. We've pointed them to God, and then we've given them the tools and the resources on how to encourage themselves in the Lord. Okay, that went over not too good, Lord, but praise the Lord. All right, number 7th guideline, we want to reset. Remember, restoration, restore in the New Testament means reset. We want to help reset their mindset. Reset their mindset. Because all recovery starts in the mind. All change starts in changing your thought life. It's renewing the mind so we can be repaired. Renewing, repair. So if I can get them to renew their mind in the Word, get them in a Bible reading plan to reset their mindset, they're on their road to restoration, recovery, and repair. I got to help them reset their mindset. To what? Let me give you an illustration. Matthew 11, verse 28 and verse 30. Can we go there, guys? Thank you. Look at this family. Jesus said, if you got trouble, if you got problems, if you're in conflict, if you're hurting, come to me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. I tell you, without God in the world, It's heavy. It's hard. It's getting harder out there, isn't it? The stress, the pressure, the opposition, the changes, they're so fast. It's heavy. He said, if you're in trouble, if you're hurting, if it's hard, if it's heavy, if it's unbearable, if you're overwhelmed, then don't stay out of church. Don't run from God. Don't take meth. Don't get on that cocaine train. But what do you want to do? Run to God. Run to God. So he says, come to me. And he says, I will give you. Wow. So out of my fellowship with God, I know I'm walking with God daily if I have his rest instead of the world's stress. Oh my goodness. That's what we want, don't we, church? Rest. Wow. And then next verse, verse 29, it says, take my yoke upon you. Now, this is a picture of two oxen going around with a yoke, and they always had a bigger, elder oxen with a smaller, younger oxen, because the younger oxen would learn of the older, bigger oxen. Well, that's a type and shadow. Jesus is bigger than us, and he's our elder brother. And if we'll stay plugged in, hooked up, yoked to him, he'll show us how to live a life that's fulfilling, abundant, and blessed. So he said, take my yoke upon you, learn about me, for I am humble, and you will find rest. So I know that my prayer time, my devotional time, that I'm taking time with God, because throughout the day, I'm not taking it out on my family, my friends, my relationships, or other people, that I'm walking throughout the day with supernatural rest. You see, if I'm in fellowship with God and I'm getting stronger on the inside, then what's going on the outside doesn't upset me. If I'm walking with God in the uninterrupted rhythms of grace, if the inner me is getting stronger every day and I'm walking in his rest, then whatever is going on around me doesn't upset me. But if it is upsetting me and causing me to be anxious, I need to run back to God for restoration of rest and peace that he died for to give us. Okay, praise God. Sure do love y'all. And next verse, verse 30. For my yoke is, I thought it was hard. Well, it's hard without him. And without him, I really can't get the renewal, the reset, the repairing. Without him, I really can't get the restoration back. And I really can't restore that relationship with my ex or my kids or my parents or my peers or my sibling or the last job, the last church or this church or whatever. But he said, reset your mind. Don't go through life as a victim. Go through life as a victor. Don't go around stirring things up all the time. But realize if I'm walking with God, it's easy and light. The minute it becomes hard and heavy, I'm trying to do it on my own. I'm trying to work it out on my own. I'm trying to make it happen on my own. That's when it gets hard and heavy. But we reset our mind, we walk with the Lord, our inside gets bigger than our outside. We know that's happening because when other people are getting ticked off, upset, you are not, because you're putting God first every day of your life. Can we have a praise break? Come on, give the Lord a big thank you for giving you rest today and peace. And my burden is light. Now, let me give you just one more scripture. James, I love this. I love this verse because there's a reward for you and I restoring other people at work, at home, at school. Everyone say a reward. God wants all of us to be restored. And then God has given us a ministry of restoration. And God has given us guidelines how to know who to choose to do that with so we're not frustrated and feel unfulfilled. What is that? We need to realize that God will reward you for ministry to other people that's effective and brings his restoration. Look what it says. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the word, the Bible, scriptures, and someone should bring that person back. Wow. somebody backslides, somebody wanders, somebody gets upset, doesn't have the rest of God, doesn't have the peace of God, doesn't have the joy of God. They're trying to do everything they're doing on their own. It says the person who can restore that person and bring them back, there's a reward for you in heaven. Wow. Next verse. Remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from hell and cover over a multitude of sins. Cover over a multitude of sins. And I close with this, Matthew 5, verse 9, the Beatitudes. Blessed, everyone say blessed, are the peacemakers. When you're making peace and showing others how to make peace and sow seeds of peace, God said, you'll be happy, you'll be blessed, and you'll be satisfied in this world and rewarded in the world to come. What say ye?
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.